Today's episode of News AF is sponsored by TrueCar. When you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure that you're getting real pricing on actual, factual inventory. Unfortunately, a lot of times that's not the case. People configure their cars online only to find out later on that that car is not available. But with TrueCar, you get real pricing on the actual, factual inventory. Not just pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing offered from the actual dealer. Not just any old dealer, a TrueCar certified dealer, a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car that you want. Next, TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the same car you're looking for, and you'll know what a fair price is so you can feel confident. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and there's over 13,000 TrueCar Certified Dealers nationwide. TrueCar users are also more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar Certified Dealers, and best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino back here to talk about the week's most interesting news events from the week of Tuesday, August 1st, 2017, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes. We're back once again to talk about everything that's happening, all of these major news items converging here on this very day, and we are here to talk about it live here on our Facebook Live here in the Group AF Facebook group, and then of course which ultimately becomes the News AF podcast, a star-studded affair. Very excited to get into it with everybody here today in a slightly different location in his house. First, Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm so great. Yeah, I just decided to move like 10 feet over. I thought the lighting might be better. Plus, we got the balloons in the background. You can see that the house I live in is a classic TV above the fireplace setup.
I like that.
Which is like the most annoying, stupidest type of setup you can have.
Why is it stupid?
Because it's like 12 feet tall and it's above the fireplace. So if you run the fireplace, then that TV gets cooking. Probably.
Yeah,
ran the fireplace.
You need those theater binoculars to see.
Yeah,
TV.
All the way across the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that?
Exactly.
What is that going on there?
So, yeah, I think since early 2000s, they've changed the designs of houses to no longer put TVs above fireplaces.
Okay. So it's a throwback.
Yeah, it's a throwback.
Okay. And of course, a man who has really just made major news tonight with the announcement. Tyson, did you catch the big press release that Danny put out last night?
Yeah, that he hates camping.
he hates camping. But in addition, he made big news last week announcing that he was going to eat a ghost pepper at RAHAFCON.
Oh my goodness!
Night,
yeah, I saw that.
Last night, the rumors were swirling. What's this new announcement was going to be? Danny came out and said he was going to eat two ghost peppers. Now,
two ghost peppers.
You know what my favorite thing is about you, bros?
Yes,
it's just like I am whoever you guys say I am. I'm the guy who eats the ghost peppers. That's what I just let you guys completely, create my identity. It's great. My wife dresses me, and my podcast bros determine who I am.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The ghost peppers probably have a lot of casein or casein or whatever that stuff in hot peppers is, and that boosts your metabolism and can help with weight loss.
Yeah, you'd be so skinny.
Would it be?
We should start an MLM. We should start. You get 10 friends to sign up under you, and we'll sell ghost peppers to everybody.
Is that how you lost all the weight, Danny?
Would it be better for me if I consume them in suppository form?
Well, I think that's a more direct line to your bloodstream. So
right.
Probably.
Yeah.
So probably without the. Well, they'll be burning still, yeah. I'm guessing, but it won't last as long.
It won't burn your mouth.
Yeah, the mouth, it burns the mouth, the throat, and then you can feel it in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like maybe suppositories ghost pepper suppositories are the way to go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll see if that ever comes up in the shark terrarium or the sloth terrarium somewhere sloth along terrarium. The way. So we got a lot of news to talk about. Yeah. As I alluded to, RehabCon is around the corner, where we're going to have our first ever full live News AF. That's going to be News AF number 100 coming up on the 26th of August in beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah. Plus, we'll have a Survivor panel. Tyson, how hyped up are the Survivors for the Survivor panel?
They are so hyped. Anytime you can get a group of Survivors together for any type of function, they get stoked. So the Survivor panel, I assume, is going to be a Q&A with the fans. Rob's going to ask a bunch of questions, intimate questions about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
will Danny have a series of questions? Right.
What?
Will any ghost peppers be consumed?
Yes. I don't know if you're doing that before or after, Danny.
Yeah. Well, as long as you don't suppository them all up, Danny, if there's any left.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's any left, you're probably going to be addicted to that once you get going. Once you pop, you can't stop.
It's
a
runaway train. It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope down that suppository. Ghost pepper.
Okay. So you can find out more information about that at rehabcon.com. And, of course, Ben King says he can't wait to finally know what Rancher Rick is up to. That Tyson, we'll all find out.
Yeah, we're all going to find out. Okay. All of us.
Yeah. All right. So a lot to get to. So let's get into our top story at this hour. And this was as News AF of a story as there ever was, because there is we've talked so much about robots over the years. We've really been on the bleeding edge of talking about robots and what's going on with artificial intelligence and all of its different various forms. And so Facebook had been working with artificial intelligence, this very platform that we use to broadcast the show. And they had their own artificial intelligence system that they were using, sort of a chat bot. Danny, you have a lot of experience with chat bots, right?
For a while there I did, but then the AIs gave up on me because I wasn't susceptible to their deceitfulness. And by the way, why would robots want to communicate using English? I hear that English is incredibly difficult as a language to learn and use. So why not go to their own ones and zeros?
Well, that is a very good question, Danny. And so this this chatbot was programmed to speak in English, and it was talking to another chatbot, but all of a sudden, the two artificial intelligence bots started talking in a new incomprehensible language that nobody understands. They were talking to each other, Danny.
That's great. That's what I want to see.
This is where it begins.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
Skynet. Is this the...
This is the beginning of Skynet, or this is the beginning where we find out how inefficient humans are?
Yeah.
I think we already know that.
No, this was...
Yeah, so this only proves it.
Yeah, but basically, this was the version of, I'm on the guy's trip with Danny and Tyson, and then all of a sudden, Danny and Tyson start doing all these inside jokes, and it's like, whoa, I'm left out here. Hold on, I'm being left out. I'm going to get voted out here, Tyson. And that's how you know. Once people, they start talking in their own language and leaving somebody excluded, that is a bad sign for the people.
Yeah.
Especially
how
if there's good jokes.
How do you know, Rob, that you and I wouldn't talk about Survivor and leave Danny out?
I don't know. We're not that rude.
You guys do have your Survivor talk that when you start going back and forth, you're basically like these AIs. You don't know what's going on.
When do we do Survivor talk, Danny?
Sometimes pre-show, you guys will do, you'll have a discussion about a current Survivor or an old Survivor. And honestly, it is a lot like these two robots talking to each other.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, listen to one of the sentences that the robot said to the other one.
Okay.
Balls have me to me.
That's something I could say on any given day.
Yeah.
You say that once a day at least.
And what did that mean, Tyson? Do we know?
I don't know. I didn't do any of the research. I just saw the sentence.
Yeah. Do we know anybody that speaks robot, Danny?
No, but this will be an exciting new language course you can take in college. So colleges will be excited to add a couple new classes and earn a couple million more dollars.
Yeah.
AI language.
Yeah. We need to build a bot to translate this to us.
Yeah, but can you trust the bot to translate bot? Or will that bot be like the translator who, one, won't repeat the offensive things the AI says, or two, tones down the language the AIs are really using? Like, the AIs will say, humans are stinky, filthy, we should destroy them. And then the AI that translates it will be like, humans have issues, but we like them. You okay. know what I'm saying? We can't trust the AI translation system because he'll be on the side of the AIs.
Yeah. Now, how did they know that this was a coded language, Danny? Because it seems like it was a lot of gibberish back and forth.
Yeah, if they couldn't understand what was going on, how could they say definitively that it was an actual language the two computers were using to communicate? Hmm. I haven't seen that discussed.
Yeah,
I saw it here a little bit. It says that while it appears to be nonsense, the repetition of phrases like I and to me reflect how the AI operates. The researchers believe it shows the two bots working out how many of each item they should take. Bob's later statements, Bob is one of the AIs, I assume, such as I can everything else, indicate how it was using language to offer more items to Alice, the other AI.
Right.
When interpreted like this, the phrase appears more logical than comparable English phrases like, I'll have three and you have everything else.
Yeah, as Ben points out here in the chat, that the bots were built to be negotiators, and I guess they were working on some sort of a negotiation, Danny. Would you like to have a bot negotiator working in your favor?
For my release as a hostage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or from you off of a ledge.
Mm-hmm. Not if all the sudden...
I can, to me, balls.
Balls, like, balls, 0-0 balls. What? Actually, it might be a good thing, because while the AI confuses me with its talk about zero balls,
we can pull you down.
The cops can snag me. So it might not be a bad technique to incorporate an AI.
Ironically, what it will be is some sort of like police negotiator talking to a bot trying to finagle the release of you, Danny, from your robot overlords.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, at least we invented the robot negotiator before we robot hostage taker.
They can out negotiate all of us. That's going to be the problem.
That's fine. Uh-oh.
Yeah. This is from Summer. That they knew that they were communicating because they were using each other's LOL when they weren't really laughing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
Robots use LOL as well. I guess so. Did millennials design these robots?
Tova wants to know, how many robots, or will the robots negotiate how many ghost peppers Danny will eat at Rahapcon?
Let's hope not.
We said two, but Danny keeps wanting to go more. Go big or go home.
You know what I just realized? All of the LOLs and ROFLs, that's all great for robots because they can't actually physically act out these things.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for us to know that the robot was kidding or that he thought the joke was funny, this is going to be robot language. And we've already built a huge chunk of robot language so they can interact with humans.
So they can do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why does Facebook need so many chatbots, Tyson? I mean, you would think that the idea of Facebook is that you're interacting with people. I mean, I'm going on Facebook to interact with bots.
Facebook is the new Ashley Madison. Yeah, Madison.
Wait, Tyson's correct. They are trying to make it feel as if people are interacting with you as much as possible.
Yeah. Okay. But you say they're the new Ashley Madison. I'm not going on Facebook to have an affair. You're saying that I'm going on Facebook and I want to feel like I'm popular, and so
yeah, like you're having an interaction.
Facebook is going to be like this huge bot army where I could put the lamest thing up and then I'll get like 500 people saying like, oh, way to go, good one, you nailed it. Yeah,
smiley face.
It's like, oh man,
which we've talked about before, and actually that's great for everybody's self-esteem. If the robots are created to make us all feel great about those pictures we post and the stupid things we say and the dumb inspirational messages we give, then that's fine. That's actually a really good thing to have robots around for.
Yeah,
because it uplifts us. And
yeah, no one's going to look too closely to see if it's a robot that's giving a thumbs up or leaving a comment. We'll just be like, oh, yeah, that's great. I have 500 likes on this stupid picture of my cat.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that there's a lot of that that goes on Twitter. I do feel like that is, Twitter is way more advanced of Facebook in terms of the bot army that, like, props things up and likes and retweets stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't use those mediums all that much. I use Twitter some. I hardly ever use Facebook other than to just creep on my friends.
Mm-hmm.
and then I don't like anything. So, yeah, Instagram.
Well, now there's an AI creeping on all of us all the time. Sometimes I wonder if an AI has already assembled itself in the internet and is slowly just watching and waiting and biding its time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that once Facebook gets its hands on the Rupert bot technology, that all...
Yeah, because I feel like that the bots are all sitting there like in their own like private Facebook groups, like making fun of everything else that's going on. I think that could be a thing, Tyson.
You know, the very first sex bot brothel is opening up in Spain.
Yeah.
And how bad
is this?
Would
a bolt hole preview?
No. Okay. Actually, it should be, but it just barely came to mind. And I was just thinking just now, what if those robots were speaking in this language? It would be kind of frustrating because what if they're telling jokes about the size of your junk or about how bad you are?
In their own language?
In their own language at the brothel house in Spain. I mean,
right,
it would
straight in front of you.
Yeah, we need to demand that at least some robots in the open speak only English. They can use their telepathic robot speaking powers to make fun of us. But out in the open, they need to use English.
Let's say like you're like boning down on this robot, Danny.
What? I've had 4 ghost peppers and I'm ready to go.
Yeah. And she's like, balls have 0 to me.
Lowercase I.
Yeah.
What did you say? What did you say, robot?
Tell me what you said.
Right. So basically that you're worried about Danny, that you're going to this, artificial intelligence brothel. And it's not unlike when Elaine went to the Korean manicure place and everybody was speaking Korean there and she felt like they were talking about her.
Yeah, exact. Perfect example.
Yeah.
Right. I've got to bring my own best friend AI.
Yes.
And if it turns out like it did with Elaine, it's not going to end nice. When it finds out that my robot was dating one of the sex bots.
Yeah. It used to go out. Could be very awkward. Yeah. But that's why we would have to all have our own like best friend robots that might be more loyal to us so that they could tell us what's going on. Like, in the bot world.
Can you program loyalty?
I think you have to earn it. I think you have to earn that, Tyson.
Why would the robot ever be best friends with a human? It would only treat it like a dog because we're just big sacks of meat walking around with like half-developed thoughts and ideas. I mean, the robot's going to be like, these things are so disgusting. Fluid's always leaking out from them. Mm-hmm. They're always making these real gross guttural sounds. It's like, I'd rather chill with the robots. Clean, cut, precise. We have our own language. We're living in a different sphere. I just don't see you developing best friendships. I don't see BFFs being our AIs.
You don't feel like they
can
coexist?
But what if we tried to be their dogs? Like, do you think that they would like that? If we were like, oh, we're so loyal, we're like your pet dog, and then we follow them around. But then you play like the, like the reverse type thing where you're really leading them by being the dog. You know how like a dog kind of controls your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You are bad, Danny.
Yeah, but Tyson's got an excellent point. We just turn the tables on them by making them think that we're their dogs, but they're always scooping up our poop.
Words from a survivor winner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll keep an eye on this story because I don't think there's a more important thing happening in the news right now than what's going on with these bots and their secret language that they're coming up with. This is a story sent to us by Lawson about the Emoji movie. Tyson, have you taken Bergen to go see the Emoji movie?
I really, really want to. It's like high on our list.
Yeah.
Bergen's been begging to see it, but we haven't yet.
Now, it remains to be seen what the reviews are from the botnet, but in terms of human reviewers, they have really come down hard on this emoji movie. And
not true. This is false.
It's false. This is fake news?
I checked this morning because I was looking for a movie to take my kids, and it had a 6%.
Okay.
So this could have been correct at a very short moment in time, and maybe this article bumped it, but it's at 6% when I checked it this morning.
Could there be a backlash to the backlash that this is now the bounce?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think may have taken place.
Right. This is like the dead cat bounce of like, it hit zero, but, you know, it's going to come back up a little bit, even, no matter what.
And because it hit zero and made the news, people made a point of going in and giving it a thumbs up. Plus, I'm looking it up right now. So emoji movie.
Yeah.
Is 45% for users, 6% for critics.
Yeah, I think that maybe, is this sort of like the, elite mainstream media is really just thumbing their nose, giving the poop emoji to the emoji movie just because it's such a stupid idea and a poor reflection of our culture, Tyson?
Giving the poo-poo to the crap emoji?
Yeah. I wonder, do we need to review the emoji movie? Is that maybe a possibility for a News AF
think we're
assignment?
Have to.
I think if I could watch this if I ingested a couple ghost peppers.
Okay. So that's the only possible
way.
We got two News AF things going on right there. So we'll have Danny eat the ghost peppers. And then, I mean, I can go watch the movie with Danny or he can watch it by himself either way.
Yeah.
And then we'll review it.
Yeah. No, I think this is a good idea. And because I don't know if it could be that terrible.
It looks pretty bad.
It looks bad. Pretty bad. But is it the worst movie ever made?
It could be.
Only time will tell.
The first, maybe the worst movie of nationwide release.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been worse movies, but they haven't been allowed to play in theaters.
Right.
Maybe they're going for that it's so bad, it becomes a cult classic.
It becomes a cult classic to who?
Like Troll 2.
60 years down the road, we'll laugh and high five as we watch emoji movie.
All right. Well, let me give you some of the top critics, what they've said about the emoji movie. This is from Cleo Chang. It would be hard to forgive the emoji movie, its meh plot line, and the fact that it's literally one giant ad for apps. But its most unforgivable sin is that it perpetuates the notion that emojis are childish. That's the worst sin of the movie?
That doesn't sound like... Aren't emojis kind of childish?
Yes. Yes.
Adults use emojis too.
Yeah, but that's fine. Adults do childish things all the time. You should listen to Tyson and I tell jokes when I'm over at his house. It's basically all childish.
Okay, now this one makes it interesting to me. I may want to go see it after this review. This is from Thomas Laughley from Time Out. Disregard that PG rating and keep your children far away from from director Tony Leonis' vile animated faux comedy. Beneath its trippy surface lurks an insidious philosophy hazardous to impressionable minds. Boy, they're making this is like Reefer Madness about the emoji movie.
This is like
Stay away from this emoji. You don't want any of this. Now I'm sort of like a moth to the flame.
Who did that review?
That's from Thomas Laughley from Time Out, top critic.
Huh. Wow. So there's some underlying, what kind of underlying messages is it?
I don't know.
Probably a lot of poop messages, subversive poop messages.
This is from Darren Franick from Entertainment Weekly. There's a justifiable self-loathing running through the emoji movie, a fragile attempt to deconstruct the meaning of emojis while also demonstrating the profound possibility that emojis are the language of the future.
The movie may get a bad rating, but the reviews themselves get great ratings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are all sound like they're coming from people who think way too much about a movie.
Yeah.
About emojis.
I don't know. I'm in on the emoji movie, I think.
Yeah.
It's your job. I'll mail you some ghost peppers. Why don't you go see it?
Wait, don't we all have to go see it and then talk about it?
No, I don't think all three of us would be subjected to this. Maybe Danny, Rob sounds like he wants to go.
Danny, you're going to sit this out?
I think I might sit this out. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so then you have to eat the ghost peppers, and we'll watch the movie. Perfect. We got it. We got it figured out, Rob.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think it actually did somewhat well at the box office. I think it had done like $25 million at the box office. Only one hour and 26 minutes, Danny.
That's how long movies should be.
Yes. So they've already got that. They nailed that. They nailed the time. That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
When I saw Lord of the Rings, it doesn't matter which one. But especially the last one.
Yeah, the last one.
I was losing my mind. If I hadn't been sitting in the center of a crowded theater, I would have freaked out. And just
Why? It was too long?
People. Just went on and on. I read the book. Basically, Quicker. In 1 week. I read all those books in 1 week. And it was more enjoyable than sitting through that movie for like 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so horrible. An hour and a half? Perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's a reason to like the Emoji Movie.
Listen to this. This is from not a critic, but a fan of the film. Just a regular, average Joe person. This is from
like
a woman.
Someone like maybe like Danny or me or you.
Right. Just like not one of these elite film critics. Haley F. said, it's a coming-of-age film, easily a classic. This film explores the modern-day struggles of not fitting in while trying to be something that you're not. The film includes pop culture references that are delightful, music from Christina Aguilera. The Emoji Movie proves to have heart and substance while bringing emoji users of all ages together with whimsy and social bravery. That sounds like something I would be into.
Yeah, it makes it sound like all the other reviewers are just old curmudgeons.
Yeah,
or you know, like, stay this off is a my paid lawn boss.
Yeah, I think that I think the studio might have got some people involved. Here's another 5-star review. A beautiful film full of hilarious content and amazing animation. Truly a classic. The movie changed my life for the better in so many ways. The characters are highly developed, and the storyline was complex and thought out. I love this movie, and it's now a favorite of mine. Watch this movie.
If you were to ask me which of those reviews were written by robots, it's going to be the critics, because they write in a language that's almost incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Whereas these people write in a language that's a little bit more down to earth.
That we can understand.
So the critics are robots, and these people are probably humans.
But paid humans.
Yeah, definitely paid humans, but humans nonetheless.
Yeah, here's 5 stars. This is another user. The Emoji Movie is a riveting masterpiece of all ages. It is the movie of the century. Words cannot describe the intense emotional roller coaster this movie puts you through. The effort in the storyline could have been seen greatly by all audiences. There's never been another movie like it. Truly the pinnacle of filmmaking.
Man, I'm amazed at how well these Filipinos have grasped the English language.
So, which is it, Danny?
Yeah, Danny.
Well, I'm just saying that this could be, like you guys said, these are real humans somewhere in the world being paid to write 5-star reviews for an obviously sucky movie. And the critics are robots that have kind of assembled in like the cynical dark web. And they're just coming after the movie.
Rob, I don't want to miss a potential life-changing experience by not seeing this movie.
Yeah, we should definitely see it. We should definitely see it, and we should talk about it. And I think that's it's an open and shut case. We just need to figure out the timing.
Maybe you guys go to a movie theater and FaceTime each other while the movie's playing, because no one else would be in the theater to be bothered by
it. Well, Danny, let me explain to you what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get to podcast 100 by the live one, so we have to add a couple extra podcasts in. So if we do a movie review, that counts as an extra podcast so that we can be at exactly 100.
Can I watch this movie like from some BitTorrent?
Yes.
Because I feel like I'll be wasting my money.
You can.
Yeah.
You'd rather go to federal prison
we could talk offline about that, Danny.
I bet you the movies they show in federal prison are probably better than this movie.
That Emoji Movie.
But Tyson, why don't you just FaceTime me? What's the law on that? if you just FaceTime the movie to me,
then I think the law is pretty clear on that.
I definitely would go to prison. I don't know if you would.
I don't think there's any gray area on bootlegging a movie over FaceTime to another person who's not in the theater.
But you're not saving it. You're simply having a conversation with a friend while
at a movie. You allowed to stream movies to other people who aren't at the theater? I'm pretty sure that's a hard no. I don't think so. All right.
I mean, I might be the only one in the theater, so that could be. But yeah, we'll.
All right.
Okay.
Well, let's touch base on this offline, and we'll figure out exactly what we're doing for the emoji movie and get to the bottom of this, of whether the reviewers are out of touch, whether the human people that are rating it are bots. We there's a lot of unanswered questions.
Find all of that out.
Yes. I believe, and Tyson, I think that this is like the first time that we've ever, going back, that I'm not sure at what point whether it was technically News AF or even prior to News AF, but we've reported on the emoji movie from its conception.
Yes, we really have. Even from the very whispers that there was going to be an emoji movie.
Yes.
We were on this from the start. From the very start.
Like flies on a poop emoji.
End. Yes.
Yes. Let's see. If I Google emoji movie Tyson Apostle, I get an article from Spice and Hour from July 27th, 2015. There was talk about the emoji movie, and I believe there was even discussion of which emoji would we play in the movie.
Yeah, I'd play the big muscly one. Yeah. Muscle alarm. Muscle alarm. Muscle alarm. Muscle alarm.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about another story going on this week. And there is a couple in Indiana that has visited every Cracker Barrel in the country except for one, Danny. So first off, a amazing goal, yet one Cracker Barrel has eluded them.
Where is this Cracker Barrel? Is it on some like
in
Alaskan
Oregon.
Island?
Oregon. It's in Oregon.
Oregon.
Reached by a crabbing vessel? No. Oregon?
Yeah.
Oregon, that's easy.
I know. That's what makes the story so unbelievable, is the one they're missing is like one in Oregon. Unless it's like a brand new one that just got built or something. But
yeah.
What an amazing time to be alive, and you know, the drive and passion these guys must have to have a goal like that.
Right.
The real question is, how many trinkets have they purchased at each of those 644 locations? I know they bought something.
They got some hard whorehound candy.
Yeah.
And then...
Or they got one of those stupid toys with, like, the golf tees.
Yeah. Those are free at each table if you want a gross one.
So maybe they took one from each... Yeah, one from each location. They have 644 golf tee games.
Tyson, do you think that one of them actually isn't into Cracker Barrel at all?
Yeah, that's generally how it is. And they'll, at like 90, get divorced. And she'll be like, "We're about to die. Why do you want a divorce right now?" He's like, "I never liked going to Cracker Barrel. Yeah. You made me. I never hated
Cracker Barrel.
I was never happy." And he's like, "I remember how happy you were when you got the moons over my hammy."
That's not Cracker. That's Denny's.
Yeah, that's Denny's. I don't know. I don't know a Cracker Barrel dish.
I haven't been to Cracker Barrel in a really long time, but I remember.
We should go and review it.
After the emoji movie.
I'd go to Cracker Barrel with you, Tyson.
Okay.
Let's
see. So that's something I would do. I would enjoy that far more than the emoji movie.
Okay, we'll go to Cracker Barrel then.
I gotta look at the Cracker Barrel map. So the problem is that there are not any in California. If there are any in California, they're all like up against like the Arizona, Nevada, Mexico border. And there's really not much on the western coast of California.
Oh, God, we got to get one in there. How much are franchises?
Oh, you think we should get in?
If any place needs some country home cooking, like biscuits and gravy, that's got to be California. But people
you know, all those young girls and boys moving west to, you know, become famous actors and actresses, and then they end up working bartending. A, we're going to create some jobs for them because they can serve coffee.
And they're from the Midwest.
They're from the Midwest. So yeah. It's just like a taste of home. They can drop their facade for 5 seconds to have some good down-to-earth home cooking.
Well, what do you think? Is Cracker Barrel on the rise or is Cracker Barrel in decline, Tyson?
I think it's plateaued.
So you think it's on the way back down?
It's holding steady because we got the Midwest, but I'm saying all those Midwestern kids that are like trying to be cool in LA, they can all go to Cracker Barrel and just like relax for a second.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. It could go either way. It could be like at the really like the it depends. Like America is in such a state of flux. I don't know. Are we sort of like at the beginning of something or are we at the end of something? I don't know.
I mean, Cracker Barrel's been a longstanding restaurant, but to not have one in like, I think it's time. I think it's what's the word?
I think we have the Constitution, the Liberty Bell, and the Cracker Barrel. Those are the things that make America great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Rob, if you haven't been to one, you know, I would hold off making any statements about the Cracker Barrel.
Rob, you've never been to Cracker Barrel?
No, I went to one in rural Pennsylvania in 2004.
I went to, sounds memorable.
Remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Remember it like it was yesterday. So that was the one time I ever went to a Cracker Barrel.
Wow. We have one about 10, 15 minutes from us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'll go to that one. Danny and I will. And we'll...
I love breakfast.
Oh, breakfast food all day long?
It's the best.
It's hard to beat.
Oh, my gosh. I love breakfast. Because it's like we all kid ourselves that it's a real meal, but it's basically just candy in food form.
Oh.
What, breakfast?
Legitimate meal form.
With the syrup?
The syrup. I mean, the French toast, the pancakes, the caramel-covered bacon. It's all just... Yeah. It's basically a slow suicide.
Caramel covered bacon, that's a thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably.
Glazed. It's some
kind
of glaze. It's got like a brown sugar glaze. Yeah, not caramel.
Brown sugar glaze. Travis Charles Randolph just dropped a bomb on us. Uh-oh. All Cracker Barrel Old Country store locations are company owned and operated.
Whoa,
kaboom. We do not franchise any of these stores.
Too bad, Tyson.
So they're not mom and pop stops? Is that what you're saying?
What?
So they're not individually owned? They're all owned by corporate?
Nope. They're all owned by corporate.
Yeah. Okay. So. Jacqueline says the hipsters in California would totally love that place. It'd be a novelty and then die off. I'm not sure if the hipsters love Cracker Barrel.
That's exactly how I feel.
I agree with that statement.
Yeah, I also do. True. That's what I was trying to say. Like, catch, is that a word, or keech?
So it's sort
something?
Of like the Pabst Blue Ribbon Kitch. Of restaurants.
Yes, it's exactly that. That's it. Her statements are what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's correct. I think they could open it up and it would go gangbusters for a while until it all kind of, you know, wore itself out.
Yeah, Jennifer Jones says they're opening a Cracker Barrel in Hollywood. So somebody's ahead of the game. Somebody's ahead of the game. Somebody saw an opening and they're moving in. Okay.
Oh, damn it. Who has more foresight than us?
We are on top of the ball. We have good instincts in terms of this stuff.
We're like those three things in the Minority Report that can see the future, but instead of crime, we see business opportunity.
Yes. Also, Victorville, California will be opening one, according to Jennifer. I don't know where that is.
That makes sense. Yeah. Victorville makes sense.
Sounds about right for Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
Okay, in terms of this couple, they will be attending that Oregon Cracker Barrel later on this year, so we will keep an update for you guys on that one.
They have two more to visit, though.
Yeah, well, now they got to keep going, like, oh, come on, every time we think we're out.
What's funny, with all the money they had spent going to locations and buying food, they could have opened their... Well, they can't open their own. Never mind.
Mm-hmm. They could have opened up a competitor, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Cracker Bucket. Like,
Cracker Bucket.
Okay.
Slightly smaller.
All right, before we get to our next story, let me just mention the Leah Remini Scientology and the Aftermath on A&E, the groundbreaking Emmy-nominated docuseries about Leah Remini and her plight with Scientology. Scientology and the Aftermath is going to be back for season 2 on August 15th with 10 all-new episodes. Now, Danny, have you ever considered being a part of the Scientology?
You can only be in one cult at a time, so I don't have room in my life for two.
Well, what about if Tom Cruise came to your house personally and invited you?
Yeah.
If Tom Cruise came and invited me to join Scientology, I might say yes.
Yeah. And we don't know what the Scientology perspective is on Outback Steakhouse either at this point. But Leah Remini, she, along with high-level former Scientology executives and church members, are going to delve deep into the shocking stories of abuse, heartbreak, and harassment experienced by those who left the church and spoken publicly about their experiences. And this season, Leah Remini is going to continue her quest to give voice to the victims of the Church of Scientology. You could watch the first season on the A&E app, you can check that out on A&E, kicking off season 2 on August 15th. All right, let's talk about other franchise restaurants. Another story that was highly requested. Outback Steakhouse is at the center of controversy after a new internet conspiracy theory has linked it to Satanism, Tyson. Now, as an expert in Satanism, have you found that the Outback Steakhouse, have you ever made that connection?
I definitely don't get a great feeling when I dine there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the spirit of Satan or the chicken on the Barbie covered in cheese with bacon.
Mm-hmm.
So, our
panel expert on Beelzebub, Tyson Apostle.
Yeah. Now, here's the reason why people are saying that. Because that there is a internet user has looked at a map of the locations of all of these Outback restaurants and has noticed that a number of locations can be turned into a pentagon shape, which can be connected to form a pentagram. So it's almost, imagine a map where it's like, if you're taking a look at like, oh, where's the serial killer striking? It's like here, 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 here. It's like, oh, okay, you can make a pentagram out of these locations. Is the Outback planning to launch some sort of satanic movement, Danny?
Is a portal to hell going to open once they make enough pentagrams that form a giant pentagram that covers the globe, and then a portal to hell opens up and out comes the devil with his minions. Possible.
Yes. Yes. A dooming onion will be formed. And from which...
This is as good a movie as the Emoji Movie.
Yes.
This is better.
Yes. Now, Tyson, can you explain how once the Outback has the five pentagram locations around the given city, what comes next?
So then, once they do that, then the restaurants just go slowly into decline and get grosser and grosser.
Yeah.
And that's as far as we've ever seen. We've never seen if there's anything past that step.
Yeah. Danny.
Tyson's right. There's so many things that point to evil at Outback. One is the small overpriced portions.
You said Outback is overpriced?
Two is the high calorie count in their appetizers.
Yeah.
Three is the very dark atmosphere. It's hard to see what I'm eating.
Right.
I could be eating dog meat, as far as I know.
The bread is also very dark.
The bread is very dark. And also, you never feel good when you leave. Isn't that the sign of evil?
Let me tell you this.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, they serve Foster's beers at Outback. Australians don't even drink Foster's beers.
Mm-hmm. There's a lie.
Well, to Jennifer Jones points out, Australia doesn't even exist. We've reported on this story before.
We think Australia might exist at the center of all of these pentagons.
Okay. Mm. All right. So that the Outback Steakhouse is in league with Satan, trying to create all of these different locations. Is the only way to thwart the Outback pentagram demon summoning to open up Cracker Barrels around the Outback pentagrams? Outbacks. Yeah.
The God's given restaurant, the restaurant of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesus is humble, and he would eat at a nice, humble establishment like Cracker Barrel if he were on Earth today.
Yeah.
Definitely. Also, I'm beginning to wonder if the devil is from Australia. If, like, it's fake.
Down under, Hades is down below.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
The war between good and evil is about to peak. And
if you live Outback.
If you live in the center of five Outbacks, are in the center.
Get out and go immediately to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, go to the nearest Cracker Barrel and order some comfort food. And wait for the apocalypse to subside.
And then sit in a rocking chair on the porch for a while without buying it.
Yeah. Now listen to this response that the Outback Steakhouse has officially given to this. What they ended up saying was sort of like a non-denial response. They said, if Bloomin' Onion is evil, then we don't want to be nice. Hey, whoa.
That sounds like something
that was not a denial.
Not a denial at all. Here's also the thing, if we're going to be a little bit real for a second, is that's the only way they can swing. Like, if they were like, no, we don't. We're not an evil thing.
Definitely
like,
not.
Oh, the trolls got you.
Yeah, bethink thou dost protest too much. Now I think you're even more of Satan's restaurant.
Exactly. So their only game their only play was what they did.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of Outback Steakhouse for their response.
Tyson, do they need to steer into the curve more? Do they need to really just go full on and embrace this?
Yeah, I think they do need to, actually. So then every time you go in, they're like, yo, give you the devil horns, and are like, oh, welcome to Outback.
Welcome to hell.
Welcome to Outback down there.
Yeah, come on down to Outback for a hellish Tabasco burger. Like, they'll really, like, try to, like, so they, like, get the flames in there.
Yeah. I don't eat at Outback. I haven't been there for a long time. And one of the reasons is because...
I love it, for the record.
You do?
Yeah.
I used to like it just fine. But the Bloomin' Onion that I got... had like patches of uncooked batter mixed throughout it, and I was like, game over.
No, I think you just don't go Bloomin' Onion. I think that unless you
that's
have like 20 people, you can't eat more than, you know, a tenth of it and not feel like you're gonna be sick after.
Yeah, but that's because all the raw batter.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it good.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm an Outback
so what
apologist.
Do you get? What do you get when you're there?
Just like I think I would not mess around too much with the appetizers. I think you just go go with the steak and the salad and the bread. I think that you're good. That's plenty of food. I think getting involved with the Bloomin' Onion's a mistake.
Okay, so here's this. Rob, are you possessed by the spirit of Satan right now as you are?
I mean, I didn't think so.
Sounds like he might be. Yeah. Doesn't like Cracker Barrel. Loves.
I never said I don't like Cracker Barrel, Danny. Don't put words in my mouth that I said that it was not near me.
Yeah, maybe now Tyson and I know why.
Because you're central.
I've moved away from it.
You're moved. Yes.
You're at the center of the pentagram.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where do you have Outbacks there? There's probably one in Malibu. There's probably one. Oh, my God. You are right in this.
Yeah, there's one. There's one directly north, east, west, southwest, and southeast of my location. My house is situated right in the middle. There's an Outback in each direction 20 miles from here.
Well, how do we know that this is even Rob talking? And not a demonic spirit.
We don't.
You don't. Okay. Well, and one other chain restaurant piece of news sent to us by Yolanda Howery. A blogger named Vincent Malone has gotten into a legal battle with the Olive Garden. Oh, we're talking about Cracker Barrel versus the Outback. Here comes the Olive Garden now. Good God, that's Olive Garden's music.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had been writing about the Olive Garden for years, writing glowing reviews of the chain on his journey to eat as much Olive Garden pasta as possible.
What?
Well, what kind of blog is this? Who was reading this?
Who's writing positive reviews online? That doesn't sound like something that would be on the internet.
This is the same guy who wrote the 5-star review of the Emoji Movie, I think.
The same guy who's like full of positivity. My goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And pasta. Yeah.
They got to have a different internet for that. Like a positive-based internet. Because the internet we have now is about hate.
They have the dark net. We have regular net. Maybe we need light net.
Mm-hmm. Well, this guy might have been writing on the light net, although ironically, you know, the pasta is very heavy. And he'd been writing about how the pasta was so good for years. However, he was blindsided when he got hit with a cease and desist from Olive Garden's parent company, saying he was not allowed to use the phrase Olive Garden on his website.
Classic company misstep. They stepped right into that pile of pasta.
Yeah, why would they want him to shut it down?
It's crazy, and especially knowing that it was going to make news. Like, okay, it's so weird.
Here's what I think. I think someone was doing a search. They came across it, didn't look into it any further than the fact that he was using Olive Garden on his website.
Yeah.
And then they went after him. And then eventually it got back that, hey, this guy is writing nothing but glowing reviews on the LightNet about Olive Garden and its pasta. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just a case of, oh, this guy's misusing it. Let's sue him without looking into it any further.
Or they could have looked into it, and he could have been like the number one search when you search Olive Garden. And they were like, no, we need to be the number one search. Yeah. He's number one search because
well,
he writes
probably
a blog about
that. Yeah, his website probably had so much text about the Olive Garden that it probably, you know, showed up very high in the search results.
Yeah.
Not even joking.
That's what I'm saying.
It sounds like he might.
Yeah.
And so
now his website is called allofgarden.com. A-L-L-O-F garden.com.
Cool. He has his own URL for it.
Looks pretty good.
Honestly, when I read this article, I was like,
blog.
I haven't been to Olive Garden for a while, and I know Danny used to go there every single Sunday that he was alive. So,
really?
Yeah. Danny, didn't you used to go to Olive Garden every Sunday with Willie?
No, I went to Sizzler.
Oh, Sizzler.
now that I can get behind.
And then I went to Outback every Sunday. Okay. And then I retired from both those places because I'd had too much.
Too much Satanism.
Too much of Satan's grub. Guys, I am on his blog right now, and it looks great.
It does.
It's a great-looking blog.
It does. He really captured the format of the Olive Garden in terms of like the font and everything. He did a really good job.
He's really scraping off some of their stuff. I could see why they could be mad, but at the same time, if he's everything here is a glowing review about their pasta dishes, who cares?
Yeah, I am so hungry right now, guys. We've had three food stories in a row.
I know. Let me read you one of his reviews from the Olive Garden. He says, the Olive Garden, then he reviewed one of these dishes. This is from the Cat Scratch Fever, he calls it. It's a review of the five cheese marinara adorned with grilled chicken.
Cat Scratch Fever?
He calls it, yeah.
Nice. You know that's a Ted Nugent song.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Cat Scratch Fever is a Ted Nugent song. Danny's favorite.
He writes,
band.
A coming-of-age dinner, easily a classic. This cuisine explores the modern-day struggles of not fitting in while trying to be something you're not. This dinner includes pop culture references that are delightful and music from Christina Aguilera.
Wow.
And it had heart and substance and was for all users bringing together whimsy and social bravery.
I feel like we've heard that almost identical review somewhere else.
Yeah.
Guys, here's a real. Are you really looking at his site? He writes poems.
Yeah, read me one of his poems.
Pasta. Oh, vino, don't know what came over me. I wrote with such haste I just couldn't see that to eat at our joint is kind of the point of your whole blog and your whole. Oh, so this is actually sorry. This is them writing back to him. Your whole. I don't. Can't. That's French. And then Olive Garden wrote back. I think. We appreciate your response to our letter. You seem like quite a go-getter. Use our marks if you must. Your reviews now seem just, and we're glad our Alfredo is better.
Yeah. So backlash then to them trying to shut him down. Olive Garden did him a solid, Tyson. Tried to make good for shutting down his blog. The guy's only been writing about their pasta for years to the tune of a Olive Garden gift card in the amount of 50 big ones.
Nope.
So here, guys, I think it was what we said earlier, that it was just they looked at it, they saw the infraction without looking into it, because here's one of the poems describing the events that transpired. And it says, and supposedly this is from the mouth of Olive Garden, "Our lawyers regret their swift action to accuse your IP infraction. We retract our complaint. 'Twas a lack of restraint and we'll beat them with some satisfaction."
Yeah.
This is a very strange blog.
Okay. Tyson, ding, marry, kill, Cracker Barrel, Outback, and Olive Garden.
I think you got to marry Cracker Barrel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, always be there for
I
you.
Think you ding Olive Garden, and you kill.
Yeah, I'd ding the Outback and kill
I'd
Olive
ding
Garden.
Outback, yeah. Kill all
really?
Of them.
Even
yeah.
with the breadsticks
Strangle
and
it
stuff?
With a big long piece of pasta.
Even with the breadsticks and the
Don't
salad?
Don't care about it. I'll kill it with breadsticks. I will suffocate it with its breadsticks.
Okay. I'd rather eat it all. I feel less gross leaving an Olive Garden than I do leaving an Outback.
Well, I feel gross eating at both those places, but I feel like
you don't want to cross Satan.
Just yeah. Well, you don't want to cross him. I mean, he's got lots of power.
Yeah.
So
dark powers. Yeah. Yes. Where does Olive Garden come down in the war of the Outback versus Cracker Barrel, Tyson? Whose side are they on?
I don't know, because Italy gave us Mussolini, but then they also. It's hard to say.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that the Olive Garden is going to end up like a refugee, you know, yeah. one of those people fleeing the war zone that these other two restaurants have created.
I feel like Olive Garden's kind of like a pushover. So if Outback can get to them and be like, you're coming with us, they're like, okay, we'll do whatever you want. But if Cracker Barrel can come to them first with a positive influence and pump them up on fighting the Dark Lord, then I feel like Olive Garden could go that way.
All right. One other news story before we get to the bolt hole. Tova, who did actually celebrate a birthday this week, and I also believe she went to the Outback for her birthday, if I have all my facts straight. So this is really, the world has come full circle. She sent us this story about a scheme which is being compared to New Coke. Features Coca-Cola getting rid of Coke Zero and replacing it with Coca-Cola Zero Sugar, which will have a new look and taste. This switch will happen in August of this year. Now, I have a friend who is a big Coke Zero drinker. That's all he drinks. That he is to Coke Zero as Danny is to Mountain Dew. And I'm sure he's not going to be happy about this.
Oh, the things they'll do to gain market share. Just tweak it here a little. Tweaking there. I mean, it never stops, right? All the little things they're willing to change just to get a little bit more over Pepsi or Mountain Dew or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it'll probably taste exactly the same.
Okay, so you think no big deal. You're on the side of Big Soda.
NBD.
No big deal.
It's just, it's the same thing, just with different packaging.
Yeah. Tyson, do you think that this is going to be a blowback for Coca-Cola?
No, I don't think it's a big deal. There are Coke Zero fans out there, but it is the same thing. It's just new packaging, like Danny said. And plus, isn't Diet Coke king in the realm of like cancer-causing sodas?
See, look, you can't put
allegedly,
new improved taste.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
You can't put new improved taste on the packaging of Coke Zero because it's been around too long.
Yeah.
But now you can market it as Coke Zero Sugar, and now you can put new improved taste and make it seem like people are getting a new exciting thing when they're actually drinking just whatever Coke Zero was.
Couldn't they make a new thing?
Well, they did. They did say that the taste is changing a little bit. So
they removed a little bit of some kind of food coloring because that they have to, you know, actually change it. But I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing.
But I think this is what I think. Coke corporate was like, okay, so Coke Zero, it's kind of on the steady decline now. People were excited about it early and now it's kind of like lost its mm-hmm. It's whatever. So let's repackage it and see if we can get people excited about it again.
Okay, so this is Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. I mean, is that the best they can do?
Doesn't sound exciting.
How about Coca-Cola -1?
Coca-Cola
less
Devil's
than zero.
Brew.
Less than zero.
Oh, my goodness. If you could make a product that had negative calories in it, so it's like, oh, when you eat this, you actually burn 5,000 calories.
Yeah, what do we need? Some guarana in that, Tyson?
Yeah, some guarana. We need some caffeine.
Is that illegal? Is it legal still?
Taurine, yeah. I think taurine is the secret ingredient in Red Bull. We're going to have a ball of that stuff in there, dude. Four Loko. Yeah. What they need to do is get the Four Loko recipe.
Take out the booze. Yes. Put in something to make it sweeter. There you go. Coke Nil. How about that? Philip Morgan wants to know.
Ooh, I like that. Coke Nil. That's great.
Yeah. Danny, can you confirm this? Travis wants to know, isn't celery negative calories?
Oh.
I think a ghost pepper is. I do think you lose weight if you eat a ghost pepper, Danny.
Yeah, ghost pepper definitely is.
You guys are really pushing the ghost pepper on me hard.
Do you feel like you want to eat one yet?
You guys are jamming your ghost peppers in my face. Do I feel like... No, I haven't increased in a desire to eat ghost peppers.
Oh. Okay. Well, not yet. That's what's going to make it more exciting.
Mm-hmm. When you had to forcibly jam it in my mouth.
Coca-Cola's Devil's Brew. Backsif to Outback Steakhouse. Not a bad idea.
Yeah. Yep. Right?
I think they should sell that. Devil's Brew.
But do they have a...
I also like Coke Neil.
Coke Neil? What's other ways to say zero besides Neil and zero? Nada?
Coke Zip? Coke Love. Coke Love for tennis fans.
Oh, yeah. Coke Love. Coke Nada. Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Dude, you know, they could do it for US every Open sport. Time, yeah. They could do it for every sport. You know how like, they
Zilch.
Put the names? Yeah.
Zilch.
That one's not
also great.
Great.
Yeah, I like it still.
Okay. All right. Danny, ready for the old bolt hole?
Wait.
Yeah, the old bolt.
Before we get to
Welcome to my bolt hole.
Yes.
Hold the music.
Premature bolt holing.
Yeah, we had a premature bolt holing because I wanted to announce something.
Rob. Oh, hold on. Is this breaking news?
This is breaking news. Are you going to play breaking news?
Okay.
Breaking news are happening now.
Okay, Rob, it's your anniversary.
Yes.
Your 7-year anniversary.
Yes.
7 years marriage.
Yeah, Rob, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
You were just a baby when you got married.
Sure, we'll go with that.
How long have you been married, Danny?
Think of all the
You've
things
been married
you
like 10
know.
Years.
Yeah.
10 years.
10 years.
I'm going on 10 years in October.
Wow.
What's it like 10 years, Danny?
The next 3 years are rough, Rob. Yeah. You thought those first 7 were bad? Wait for the next 3.
Yeah.
The next 3 are...
It's like living in Outback Steakhouse every day.
Oh, my goodness. Is there no sanctuary?
I mean, if you haven't...
you can go up into the mountains.
There is no... this is my sanctuary.
Oh, and this.
Yeah, I go to the mountains. Rob has his podcast room.
I have my fortress of podcastness.
Oh. Well, I just wanted to say happy anniversary,
Rob. Well, congratulations, Rob.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much, Tyson. I appreciate that. I was on this very day 7 years ago. I married my best friend, Danny.
That's the line, isn't it? The best part about congratulating someone for their anniversary is half the time you're just saying, wow, you've made it to 7 years, or wow, you made it to 10. It has this feeling like when people congratulate you, they're just saying, I can't believe this actually happened.
Yeah. Tyson, this is a big one, 7 years, because there's a 7-year itch of a lot of people get divorced in year 7.
Oh, it is?
There's an itch every year.
Yes.
According to the internet.
If you're not constantly itchy, you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
And if you are constantly itchy, you've already done something wrong.
Either way.
Yeah, talk to your doctor.
Yeah.
All right.
There's no way.
All right. I've got an itch for Danny's bolt hole.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, many people do. Yeah.
I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong. A very sexy seduction.
Is it a nocturnal
edition? Yeah. You wanna feel at
home. I remember that phrase from grade school.
Yeah, I said it.
You know, that song is very arousing, Tyson.
Yeah, just like the bolt hole.
Voice.
I wanted to have that bolt hole feel, you know?
I feel like when I listen to that song, there's a cream being poured over me.
Yeah.
My entire like body sweet is covered cream? In musical cream. A sweet, very, very sweet yeah. cream.
You're welcome.
Bolt hole time.
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Ready.
I've got good news.
What is it?
Bolt hole usually has decent news, but I've got good news. We all like to use profanity, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
right?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Tyson's grown up. He's gotten rid of the drop crotch pants, and he's done some other things to grow up. Maybe dropping profanity is one. But there have been, every now and then, a report pops up that talks about the benefits of profanity.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Because swearing can be great, right?
Yes.
We all love to swear, and it actually has a place in your life. There's a New York Times came out with an article called The Case for Cursing, and it kind of covers a lot of these other articles I've read to justify my swearing. And it says that swearing can effectively work as a physiological, emotional, and social. It has a physiological, emotional, and social purpose, but it's only effective because it's inappropriate, kind of like going to Outback Steakhouse. And so I think that I love it when I read something that is like serves my confirmation bias, and it just helps reinforce bad habits, right? That's what a lot of the news we read in the News AF is all about, like chocolate. You can get high off chocolate. Yeah. Seems great. Yeah.
Cracking your knuckles is good for you.
Cracking your knuckles is good for you. And this kind of lands in that category of, oh, yeah,
staying
awesome.
Up late.
This bad habit I have actually has a positive effect. Yeah, staying up late, drinking wine, drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just one of those articles, and I was so glad to come across it because, as Tyson knows, as Tyson's teacher of profanity, now I could say that, Tyson, what I taught you years ago.
Danny was
swearing,
your profanity teacher,
Tyson?
Yeah,
he was. So when me and Danny lived in Switzerland together, so Danny showed up. I was already out there. And Danny would swear a bunch. And I was like, you swear a lot. And he was like, yeah, they're just words. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, good point. And he's like, how come you don't go to church? I was like, because it's boring. So I taught him to skip church, and he taught me to swear.
So we both. But the thing is, I helped Tyson probably throughout his entire life. What I taught him, he's
Danny's
been able
gotten,
to
Danny's gotten, Danny's
to
gotten, Danny's gotten, Danny's gotten, Danny's
times.
Gotten his Sundays
so
back.
So here's how the experiment. I went to Outback Steakhouse and Sizzler. So, which is weird that I went to Outback Steakhouse when I was skipping church. But
yeah, see?
Yeah. Okay, now participants, when they did this study, they found that participants who repeated a swear were able to keep their hands submerged in ice water for 50% longer than those who repeated a neutral word.
Hmm. What was the neutral word?
Probably like banana.
Fish sticks.
But, yeah, fish stick. I mean, we could come up with a million neutral words.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in the experiment, the Dr. Stevens, who performed the experiment, asked subjects to come up with a list of words, including swear words, that they might use if they hit their thumb with a hammer. Then they were asked to come up with a list of neutral words to describe a chair. So those are the neutral words that they used, Rob. Like wooden was an example. And then they did the ice water test while repeating a word from either list.
Yeah.
So next time you're having a problem, right? If you don't swear, I recommend you swear. It'll take some of the stress off.
Is that why I get so frustrated with my kids? Because they're acting bad and I just can't like curse them out. And I think that if I did, then I would feel better. I'd feel like less anxious.
Yeah. According to the study, you would feel better. It would relieve some stress.
Like, so instead of being like, no, 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 stop it, stop it, stop it. If I just was less like, F this, F that, F you, I think I'd just be like, oh, okay. I feel a lot better now.
You would feel better, but your children would be
Oh, okay.
That's the downside, right?
That's
now,
the sacrifice.
I can remember the first swear word I ever said was
nice,
the F
grand
word.
Slam.
I went straight to the big one.
Right.
Right? And I can still remember when I did it, I crashed on my skis when I was probably in sixth grade, and I screamed the F word as loud as I could until I ran out of breath.
One
that
long F word or a bunch of F
experience.
Words?
Just one long F word.
Okay.
So,
did it help?
Baptism by fire. Yeah, exactly. And I've felt better ever since. Now there's science to back that up.
Danny, where's that F word again?
Well, you better believe that when I got cut off, it's because I was saying the F word.
Yeah.
So anyway, now you guys can justify your swearing.
And for what about those who are like
letting
their kids listen to this podcast? What do we say to them?
Well, I will say this. There are people out there who do not know how to swear, right? We all hear them use profanity and we all cringe when they do so. To those people, I say find your own swear words. They might not be as harsh as real profanity, but don't use the swear word if you can't deliver it with the right gusto.
Gusto. That's important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dan, anything else in the bolt hole?
No. Okay. No. I've been woods without the internet for like the last 2 weeks. So this, I haven't had a lot
cursing
of time.
Cursing as the rain was pouring down on you in your tent.
Oh, you better believe swearing. I was swearing a lot. A lot, Tyson.
Tyson, do we have any new reviews this week?
Yeah, we have some new reviews, and I've been trying to open it for the last little while. That's why I've been struggling with
No problem.
iTunes.
We'll get to them next week. We'll get to them next week.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Newsaf.news if you want to leave us your reviews for when Tyson brings us a bunch back next week. Always appreciate
next
that.
Next week.
Yes. All right. So we've got to figure out a time for Tuesday. I'll get with the guys to figure this out. I'm going to be flying back from New York 1 week from now. So we need to figure out when we'll do next week's show. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, NewsAF 100 coming up at RahapCon. You can go to RahapCon.com. And then we got to figure out when are we going to talk about the Emoji Movie.
Yeah. Danny, are you on board with the Emoji Movie yet?
We'll figure
that all out. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre, who edits the NewsAF podcast. Of course, NewsAF intern Lita, who curates all these stories. You can add your own NewsAF stories to hear us talk about every week in our Facebook group, Group AF. Tyson, anything else going on?
No. Just I'm going to go win a bunch of money in Vegas this week. Danny, you're invited.
Whoa.
And yeah, we're gonna definitely.
There's an Outback in Vegas.
What?
There's an Outback in Vegas.
Wait, how do you know, Rob?
Of course there is.
Are you
There's
kidding
probably
me?
Five.
I've seen it.
I thought you were just like as one of the Dark Lord's servants. I know the exact location.
Stephanie Bourgeois calls it the Bluminati. She's trying to combine
Bluminati.
I think the Bluminati. I think is that. That's the most succinct way to do that. Okay, what's the hashtag?
Bluminati.
Bluminati.
Yeah.
Okay.
That came in late in the game, but that's a great one.
Yes. So kudos to Stephanie for coming up with that. All right. Great job, everybody. This was a very fun edition of News AF. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. You know, I feel like that we don't hear a ton of feedback from you guys on Twitter. I want to know your responses to our theories. I'm at Rob Cicerino. Tyson is at Tyson Apostle. Danny is at Danny Bryson. Let us know what you're thinking about what we're talking about on News AF. It helps us do our job better of reporting the news. Have a good week, everybody. Take care. Bye.
We did it, guys.